Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to first and change the order a little bit. I'm going to finish the zikr and the whole philosophy behind zikr. So I'm going to discuss some of those more difficult theoretical concepts. The first thing is that the ulama of tasawwuf have coined two terms. One is wilayat and one is nubuwat. Not really coined two terms rather, but they've understood these terms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in the Quran in a particular way. And it's when you understand the way they've used these terms, we will be able to understand these terms of fana and baqa. So wilayat, nubuwat, fana and baqa, these are just terms that are describing particular realities. And I'm going to try to describe those realities from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wilayat and nubuwat. So nubuwat obviously is a word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in the Quran. Nabiyyin, anbiya, nabi. Nubuwat means prophethood and prophecy. And wali and awliya are also two words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has mentioned in the Quran. Wilayat is that which is possessed by a wali, and nubuwat is that which is possessed by a nabi. Point number one, obviously that even the greatest of the awliya does not even compare to a fraction of a speck of any of the anbiya. So nubuwat is far, far supreme and greater to wilayat. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used both of these words in the Quran, anbiya and awliya, so it means that they are two separate things. One is nubuwat and one is wilayat. Now, what the mashayikh of the tasawwuf have realized, they realize that wilayat is something that is not different from nubuwat in the following sense. And you have to really understand my words carefully. In this sense, that all of the anbiya were also awliya. In some sense, if we simply understand the word wali as meaning the beloved friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously the greatest wali is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the greatest wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest muttaqi, the greatest mutawakkil, the greatest sabir, the greatest zakir, the greatest shakir, the greatest everything. And what they did, they realized that, look, there's something called the wilayat of the Prophet and nubuwat of the Prophet. Now, when they were looking at the life and the zat and the being of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they looked at his nubuwat and his wilayat. And they said that just like everything else about the Prophet is a role model for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that you have for you in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a beautiful and noble example. So that is our target, that is our role model. Not that we can attain it. We can never attain the taqwa of the Prophet. We can never attain the sabr of the Prophet. We can never attain the shukr of the Prophet. We can never have the Muhammad of Allah that the Prophet had sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but that is your target. So just like that, then the ulama of the tasawwuf said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this word awliya, or in the singular wali in the Quran, it means our wilayat must also target the wilayat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what was his wilayat? What was his wilayat? His wilayat consisted of a few things. So number one is that it's the view of the ulama of aqidah that even before the Prophet ﷺ's nubuwat was zahir, even before prophethood was revealed to him in the form of revelation, اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ, he was a wali from the moment he was born. He was a wali from the moment he was born. And any of you who are familiar with Sirah know all of the incredible stories of his childhood, stories told by his mother, by Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha, etc. And part of his wilayat before nubuwat was again that his khalwa, his seclusion, his isolating himself from a society of corruption, a society of kufr, a society of shirk, a society of fisk, a society of open sin, and going to the cave and the mountain of Hira. And that was part of his wilayat, that seclusion. Now, the wilayat of the Prophet ﷺ after nubuwat is what we're looking at, and that is what's going to be understood by his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is going to be understood through these two words, fana and baqa. So the real essence and origin of these terms fana and baka is that they're words to describe the wilayat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does that mean? Fana. In a hadith, the Arabic word fana means to become fani in something, to lose yourself. Actually, fana simply means to be effaced or erased. So the term used in tasawuf is fana filla, to be erased, fana in nafsi and fana filla, to erase all awareness and cognizance of your own self because you were lost in the zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that once Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of tahajjud had gone into sajda, and he stayed in such a long sajda that she got worried that maybe the Prophet has passed on from this world. So in order to make sure and check that he was still alive, she wiggled his pinky toe to see if there was hararat in his pinky toe. And she felt a little twitch and some hararat in his flesh, so she knew he was still alive. The Prophet was in a state of fana. Another hadith narrated by Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that once the Prophet was sitting with her and the azan happened, and Sayyidina Rasulullah entered a state of fana. I'm using this word now, describing the hadith. The hadith is that Amma Aisha said that azan happened, and she said that the Prophet's face changed. And he looked at me and said, Man anti, who are you? And I said, Ana Aisha, I'm Aisha. And then he said, Man Aisha, who is Aisha? I said, Binti Abi Bakr, the daughter of Abu Bakr. He said, Man Abu Bakr, who is Abu Bakr? And then Aisha, when he said that, I realized that he is in some different state altogether. Yani, when the Prophet forgot Abu Bakr, who is his most beloved companion, the most beloved thing, person, I mean, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved person, rather, to the Prophet was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's difficult for women to understand, but the love that the Prophet had for, main nukta aapko bayan karta, agar hazam nahi hota, pareshan nahi hona. And that is that the love that the Prophet had for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was more than the love that he had for all of his wives combined. Yeh samjana mushkil hai. Shayad kisi ko samajh mein aa gaya. Different type of love that maybe should not even be compared, but if one was to compare them. So that's why she was the wife. She didn't stop and she was the mahbuba wife of Ma Aisha, and she was the beloved wife. But that he said Man Aisha was not what got her. When he said Man Abu Bakr, then she said that he is gone. Something has happened to him in the state of adhan. He is lost in some greater remembrance that he cannot even recall, remember, recollect his worldly beloveds. He is lost in the remembrance and love of his capital B beloved, his mahbub hakiki, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is called fana. That is what we're hoping for to achieve in our salah. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. وَأَقِمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. That established salah for my remembrance, exclusive to everything else. Attain fana in your salah. So this was part of the wilayat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second feature of his wilayat was his baqa. It means baqa, as you know in Urdu from baqi, it means the Prophet remained on the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He remained on the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean? That same Prophet, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in tahajjud was so lost in the zikr of Allah. And this shows you the power, the grace, the mercy of his nubuwwat. Now, imagine you and me we can only imagine, we cannot experience, we can only imagine, even imagining is beyond our reach. What type of qurb, what a'la daraja of qurb the Prophet must have felt in that sajda. But nonetheless, he broke that sajda, he rose from that sajda, completed his salam, his salah, said his salams, and walked out and led the Sahaba Karam in Fajr Salah, in Masjid Nabawi, and spent the entire day with the Sahaba up till Isha. Baqa means, however, when the Prophet did so, his heart was as lost in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it was in that moment of sajda. Now that kayfiyat of zikr is baqi, that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ta'liq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. It's a residual, remaining baqi. That is called baqa. So these are two terms to describe actually the sunnah wilayat of the Prophet ﷺ. That he had kamil fana and kamil baqa. That's why he was the kamil wali and the kamil nabi. Now that is incredible. For his heart to remain as connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day as it is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sajda of his tahajjud. This is the real understanding of these terms, fana and baqa.